Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. Welcome back. Thanks for listening to 106.7 The Fan. Earlier today, we spent some time taking calls as to whether or not I should eat something that had been dropped on the floor. What food was that? If you know that food, and you can be the 10th caller at 800-636-1067, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Nats take on the Marlins May 26th at Nationals Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the ballgame all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contest. Les Carpenter of the Washington Post covers the Redskins, is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. Les, your reaction initially when you saw Reuben Foster go down, you covered this team last year as the most injury-prone in the league for the second straight season, and then three snaps into OTAs, they lose a key linebacker. What were you thinking?
Well, my first thought was, it was just surprise. Literally, obviously, he was the guy that we were all going to be watching that day because this was the first day to actually see him on the field. And so, I had spotted him earlier just as that play was starting, and, you lose him kind of in the rush of players and everything. And it wasn't until, a few plays later and kind of when things kind of moved on, you saw a player was down, and it even took a couple minutes to realize it was Reuben Foster. And, I think my first thought after kind of like, oh, shock of all the players, was that I knew that this team had put a lot on his coming in this year and playing well and being something, more than just a middle linebacker. Despite everything that kind of had happened, I think he was a guy that they really thought would be the key to holding that defense together and making it perhaps, borderline elite if everything worked out right. And so kind of all those thoughts, that this team had sort of probably almost went out the window in a way, would probably be the first extreme reaction.
So Les, one sentence, and then, obviously your piece in the Washington Post, which is good as always, really jumped out at me on this. Cause I viewed this as a Redskins fan. I thought they were unfairly bashed, at least initially, not affording due process to anybody, and then subsequently they bungled it, kind of destroying any potential apologies that may have come therein. But this one sentence really jumped at me. They believed they had stolen a 25-year-old impact player at a bargain price. So far, that made sense. A player who could develop into a team leader, that really surprised me, given what's happened over his career, given what happened at the Combine, given his history. That really jumped out at me, that they thought they had that much more, huh?
Yeah, and you're talking about a piece. We just put this up a few minutes ago, probably a couple hours ago. That's something that I've kind of been working on a little bit in recent weeks because, and it's so hard to write about Reuben Foster because these allegations against him are incredibly serious. I think for so long sports has shrugged at allegations of domestic violence and said, try to brush it away as it's nothing, and it's not, it's something serious. And so, everything that went into his coming over here was, it probably was necessary to kind of have all of that discussion. But internally, yes, I think this team right from the very beginning, probably a big reason why they made the waiver claim on him was they thought this isn't just filling a hole at middle linebacker. They really truly believed, in a locker room that probably could use a few more vocal, authoritative leaders, that he was a guy who would be that. And in the story later on, I refer to the fact that they saw him as literally, this is what I was told, a Ray Lewis type, that they thought he would be that person ultimately in the locker room.
Wow.
Right?
To think that that quickly that they thought he was going to make that transformation makes what happened even more sad.
I think they felt like it happened immediately. Wow. I think they felt that before the end of the season, he was, when obviously he was not able to be out on the field, when he had a locker but was not around when we were in there, that, yeah, he was rounding guys up saying, let's go lift weights. Come on, let's get ready here. Let's focus. Let's get to work. So, yeah, I think they felt they had already seen that. I asked several people that question, and that was the answer. I came back, and that's the guy that they thought he was at Alabama.
I was going to say it helped that most of the guys he was with at Alabama, when he was that dude, unquestionably, or in that locker room already, he was playing with them. Les Carpenter of the Washington Post. Do you think they go outside of the organization now and sign anybody to push, say, Mason Foster for a starting spot, or is what they have what they're going to work with?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think they're shell-shocked right now, to be honest with you. I think they had put so much into what they, you know, believed they had with Reuben Foster that I don't think they were necessarily thinking, oh, gosh, who else can we sign here? I don't really know, you know, what if there's a move that's worth making at this point. You know, that maybe that'll take some time. Maybe they want to see what they have a little bit more. You know, obviously we saw, you know, Josh Harvey Clemens, you know, sneak in there a little bit with some more playing time last year. You know, they've always loved the potential of Sean Dion Hamilton. You know, I could easily see those two at some point starting together. But you still might want more depth there anyway. It was already a bit of a thin position. Now it's gotten even thinner. So, yeah, there may be a veteran move, but I don't know if it's anything that will be splashy or something that will jump out at you and say, wow, that's a big move.
Les, we were literally discussing that morning, and I think Grant named him maybe one of their most indispensable or most important players, and then 30 minutes later in real time, he's injured down on the ground. So at the risk of some sort of cosmic force here, give me some other guys, and we talked about this earlier in the show as well, that you think are maybe indispensable as well, maybe the way the Redskins felt about Foster. Maybe not necessarily the best player, but maybe a guy that's there where they're thinnest.
Well, and again, to say he's indispensable, too, I should back up just a little bit, despite, you know, all their big hopes for him. You know, aside from all the legal stuff, Reuben Foster was hurt a little bit, you know, in both of his, you know, his first two seasons in the NFL. So I think that's, too, something that everyone had to kind of look at and say it was a possibility. But taking your second question here, who's indispensable, you know, on that defense, I feel like Jonathan Allen's become that player. You can't really lose anybody in that secondary. You saw what happened last year. Look, when Brandon Sheriff and Trent Williams went down, that team struggled mightily. I mean, I think those two are indispensable guys. You definitely got to keep them healthy. So, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot on every team. And, you know, those are names that jump out at me, right, as we're talking here.
One of the guys that we came up with on offense was Jordan Reed. And I'm just curious, do they think Jordan Reed has a bounce back in him, or was last year, which was a clear regression, lack of some of the explosiveness that he had in the past, is that the new norm now for a guy whose body's been through the ringer?
Well, I think they hope he has, yeah. I mean, I think they're expecting him to have that. But, you know, I would say that they probably are expecting that with most of these guys. I think if
you
they
could
didn't
want
believe
it, I mean,
that,
internally,
they made...
do they really think he, like, in other words, was last year a bad year? Or he was healthy and he just didn't look the same?
But it's a position, but I think the fact, you have to look at this, it's a position they didn't address. If they seriously felt, you know, season that they weren't going to be getting more, you know, there were some good tight ends in the draft. There were things they could have done. They chose other positions.
No, that's a great point. And Danny and I talked about it being a need. I mean, Jeremy Sprinkle is, all due respect, just the guy. Vernon Davis, they've decided to hang on to for some reason. I'm not really sure why at the rate that they're paying him. But, yeah, they had the right and the opportunity. They draft a player at the position, go sign one, and they decided not to.
Yeah, and there were very good ones out there, so especially in from all indications in the draft. So, yeah, if that was more of a priority in their minds, I think they would have jumped on it. But I think they're expecting, you know, they're expecting, you know, Jordan Reed to be healthy. They're expecting a lot of guys that have not in the last couple of years been healthy at playmaking positions to be healthy. So, you know, we'll just have to see if that happens.
So, Les, in the wake of obviously this injury at OTAs, it just sounds, you know, I don't know. It just sounds odd to say that. I still get frustrated when guys don't show up to OTAs. Veterans who have, you know, Hall of Famers like Adrian Peterson or stars like Trent Williams, I get it, I suppose. But isn't this the time for Monte Nicholson to dot every I and cross every T? Did we hear what his deal was as to why he didn't post?
Yeah, and I got to admit, I was so focused on on Reuben Foster that day that there were a lot of things I wasn't paying as much attention to. In fact, I barely watched any of the OTA when it was because I had to run back and write a story. So no, I don't know, exactly what was going on there, and I don't know who's going to talk to who, and sometimes people have things scheduled or some other stuff. But also, I'd have to say this about OTAs: after watching Reuben Foster, why would anyone want to show up? it's a terrible thing to say, but you step on a guy's foot and you suddenly blow out your knee in a voluntary practice. It doesn't matter in a lot of ways. So yeah, it's a tough one, I think. And I'm sure a lot of guys, you probably think that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And don't want to come.
If you're not following Les Carpenter yet on Twitter, you should do so at Les Carpenter for great Redskins content. Read his work in the Washington Post, including his analysis on the Reuben Foster injury. It's a really good read. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it, Les.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Les.
Be well. Always very good to have him on the show. Next, we started our broadcast today talking about the Nats after yet another demoralizing loss, thanks to another, not just one, but two meltdowns from the bullpen because they led in the seventh and the eighth innings before losing in New York last night in a game they needed against the Mets. They're 0-2 in this now critical late-game stretch against a couple of struggling teams that we said they needed to win four or five games at minimum. They're 0-2 to start the eight-game stretch. Are they done, or do you still have a little hope? We're Grant and Danny. That's next.
I got hope now, not for the Nationals, but that I'll be healthy in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, the rest of my life. I got the tools thanks to EMP-180 Weight Loss. These guys, in no uncertain terms, have changed my life. I know they've done the same for you, Grant, and the same for so many of our listeners as well. GP is going to tell you about their spring into summer special going on right now. I cannot recommend these guys enough. They are so good at what they do. They will come up with a plan to help you get rid of the fat, keep the muscle, and be healthier than you've been in years.
Yeah, summer is the perfect time to let EMP-180 help you lose weight. My brothers last summer, just before the start of summer, this time actually started the program, they're down over 100 pounds and they're ready for an incredible several weeks at the beach and at pools. Spring into summer event starts right now at EMP-180. You can schedule a free consultation at one of five area weight loss centers. If you sign up for a minimum of a six-week program right now, you're going to get a week for free. First time I've seen them do this. That's awesome. And that's not all. I mean, this is the consultations, the counseling that we've been talking about, the coaching that you get, people answering your questions via text if need be. EMP-180 giving you a free week. I'm telling you, you're going to lose several pounds that first week and you won't look back.
855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180 or EMP180.com.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The final 40 minutes of the show ahead. Chad Dukes versus the World at 2. So happy you're spending part of your Wednesday with us. The Nats are a mess. We know that. Here's the question for you. Do you give them any chance to turn their season around, get scalding hot, which is what it's going to take, and make the playoffs? Yes or no, very simple. Do they have a shot to do that? 800-636-1067. They haven't won three straight games at any point this year. No other team in baseball has failed to do that. They do not have a rotation right now that you would think gives you a chance to get through the rotation with five straight quality starts, because your fourth and fifth starters on a good night are going to go five innings and give up a couple runs. They have the worst bullpen in baseball. In fact, we got a tweet today with a stat on how bad the Nats bullpen is that I'll pass along in a minute. But I've been saying, oh, they have the worst bullpen in baseball. No, they have one of the worst bullpens ever.
Of all time.
Ryan Spader, who Do you know exactly what he does? I hate to say I don't know exactly what he's like. Heavily into baseball analytics
and
numbers.
He's done a number of baseball podcasts that I know of.
He's like a statistician for baseball.
Really smart dude, plugged in, you know, Fangraph style guy.
Nats bullpen has a 6.61 ERA. Fifth worst by a team during the live ball era since 1920. And the worst since the St. Louis Browns, who became the Baltimore Orioles. 6.81 ERA in 1950, which I think was like 4 years before they went to Baltimore. That's how bad this bullpen has been. So I've given up hope that they make the playoffs. I'm not going to stop watching. I'm not going to not be invested. I'm still very much intrigued by the Nationals night in and night out. You got Juan Soto hit a 600-foot homer last night and had two run-scoring hits. You've got Victor Robles, who's leading you in homers and stolen bases, who's got a great skill set in his rookie year, who's, you know, going to be exciting to watch and make mistakes and be fun. Carter Kieboom's coming back up at some point, which will be intriguing. Max Strauss and Corbin, when they throw, to me, are must-see TV, front-of-the-rotation-type starters. It's not like this team's going to be terrible. They're going to finish, I would think, better than 10 games below 500. That said, I can't see them winning the division or getting a wild card spot because I just don't think they're close to good enough with their pitching staff.
They're not. And if you're going to have a staff like this, you need the 27 Yankees to overcome it. Right? You've got to be, you know, mashing homers left and right. You've got to be an offensive juggernaut. And that's just not in the cards. They can be fine. They can be efficient enough offensively. They'll get better as
they already have.
Yeah, those
heat up a bit. Runs, three out of their last four since they got healthy. But to your point, if they had the Astros lineup, then you'd probably
you could
be
figure it out.
500 or a tick above it right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So their ceiling is lower than it's been in some time. And really, not enough is being spent on the bullpen. Even when we go, well, yeah, there's also, like, the bullpen. It's historically bad. It's worse than I thought. It was a question mark for me coming in. It's why I didn't pick them to win the division. I thought they would be a little bit short when it came to offense in this division that's going to be about great pitching. And I thought that bullpen would be a question mark. I didn't think this. I didn't think it'd be like this. But you now have gone through it a number of times. The fixes are the Dan Jenningses of the world. The fixes are guys that are available in you know minor league free agency, like Justin Miller was last year. There is nothing that can resurrect this group from the bottom of the barrel. They're going to be among the worst in baseball, even if they improve dramatically. They're still down with the likes of Baltimore, who is actively not trying to win this year to get themselves the first overall pick. So, to me, what I would do, and I said this at the beginning of the show, is, and this is not fair, Tom Boswell wrote about it today as well, I'm letting go of Davey Martinez with kind of apologies as he this is not all your fault. You didn't do enough to help probably, but we're going to try one more thing just to see if we can light a fire into these guys' butts. I give the new whomever it is, if you want to go get Buck, if you want to be interim Ivan to save some money, I don't care. Whoever it is that takes over, you get a few weeks. Do we start seeing guys hit cutoff men? Do we start seeing guys not have base running mistakes? Do we move runners up when Trey Turner leads off with a double? Do we move them up and move them in? When we do some of these little things, win, lose, or draw, do we see some improvement, some signs of life? If we do, we can ride it out because nobody in this division is any good. If it's more of the same, let's start making calls. And let's figure out who's going to be here and who's not.
Yeah, and I just don't know why you'd start to see those things done with the same group of players.
I'm with you.
Because they're not choosing not to do them based on who their manager is right now.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't anticipate it changing, but I would try just to see. Right, I would try to do what Colorado did a couple years ago with Jim Tracy. Try to do what, I don't know, a couple teams have done, the injection of life, and maybe guys play more relaxed than they play, but I have no idea. It's probably not going to work, to be honest with you.
I'm probably making the same decision as you. I'm several weeks maybe behind you in the sense that twofold. One, making a managerial change doesn't get this team to the playoffs. Whether you make it now or later really doesn't matter, to be honest, because you're not – you're not fixing enough by making a managerial change. If I really thought, if I'm Mike Rizzo, man, Davey's killing us. Night in and night out, he gives us no chance. Then hell yeah, you make the change. Of course you change managers immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't think that, and it's not the case. That's just not what's going on right now. But it doesn't mean you don't make the change. You're doing it now because you're kind of throwing your hands up and going, well, this is the last resort. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just not doing it yet. Because he hasn't had the opportunity to manage a healthy roster. I'd like to give him that opportunity. Otherwise, you should have just blown him out in the offseason. for me, I focus on the pitching staff. I mean, a lot of people, they want to focus on Davey Martinez. You're allowed to do that. He's got a couple hundred game sample that says he's not great either. But Bearclaw, in 24 appearances leading the team, tied with Matt Grace, has been bad. His ERA for a while was completely misleadingly okay. He has a 290 average against in 17 innings of work and an ERA of almost 5. Matt Grace should be DFA'd today as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he does nothing for me. Every time he pitches, it's demoralizing. His average against is 333. He doesn't typically get lefties out. His whip is closer to 2 than 1. His ERA's over 8. No thank you. I actually like Wander Suero's stuff a lot. He gave up a 3-run homer and blew the game last night. I think in general he's actually been maybe their second-best reliever start to finish behind Doolittle. I know that his ERA's over 6, but unlike Grace and some of these other guys, he's got pretty good peripherals. Same number of innings as Grace as an example. He's got 10 more strikeouts, well over a strikeout per inning. His average against is 227s compared to Grace's, which is 333. His whip is basically 1.2 compared to the other two guys I just mentioned who have whips around 1.8. Doolittle's been fantastic. Sip has been the opposite of that. Miller has not been good. Ross has been bad. I mean, you could go through the entire bullpen one at a time. And then in the rotation, I say this all the time, it's got to be one of 3 days to really have a good chance.
Mm-hmm.
Does Max pitch tonight? Does Strauss pitch tonight? Or does Corbin pitch tonight? And when those guys throw, as you saw in game one against the Mets, it doesn't mean they're going to be great. Two-thirds of the time, they're going to be themselves, and you're probably going to win. But they might also suffer just a pedestrian evening. They might be out of the game after 6 innings having given up 4 runs. But the net is not catastrophe. The net is not 3 right. innings, 9 hits, 6 runs like it is for everybody else. I just don't see it. Give us some reason why you think the Nats could get hot at 800-636-1067 if you are still a believer. And also next you will hear from Mike Rizzo, who was on with the Junkies today. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Nats are 9 games back of the Phillies and 10 under 500. Worst they've been since 2011. That was before this organization turned a corner. That was right after they got to Nats Park. That's when they were putting Natnals on the jerseys and they were shooting the hot dogs out of the T-shirt guns and spraying condiments all over people. That's back when they were on PTI every night for something embarrassing happening.
A lot of Nook Logan around those times. Niger Morgan, a.k.a. Tony Plush. What were you doing?
Steven Strasburg had just graduated. Bryce Harper was still a sparkle in our eye that we were wondering what he was going to look like in a Nats uniform.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
That was the last time the Nats played this bad for this long, this deep into the season. Do you give them any hope? The numbers are stacked against them. The math is not in their favor. They got to go on a crazy stretch here. And oh, by the way, they haven't even won 3 games in a row yet this season.
Only team in baseball not to have that.
Eddie in La Plata, you're on The Fan. What's up?
Hey, great show, guys. I really appreciate your comments. you're spot on with the bullpen. I really believe that Mike Rizzo needs to get rid of, number one, Martinez, the bullpen coach, and the bench coach. Bring in here Cal Ripken Jr. to manage this team and to bring his own coaches in here, and I guarantee you, you'll have a better team and you will fill the seats in this stadium.
Well, they might fill the seats for a couple of days. You're not going to keep filling the seats if you're losing still, because Cal Ripken Jr. is going to walk out to make a pitching change for a reliever that doesn't get outs a couple times.
Yeah, if he's fielding ground balls and swinging at 3-1 pitches, maybe I'd be excited to see that again. But it's, you know, it's a limited time draw. But listen, I'm all for trying to do something. You've got to ebb this flow some way. You tried bandages. You tried Derek Lilliquist. One more major thing is in the tank for you. It's one move available to you. It's a Hail Mary. Probably isn't going to work, but it's worth a try.
Does it come off when I say I'm not firing Davey like I am endorsing him? Because I, in no way do I want to say,
Rand, you know how this works,
that I think that he's doing a good job.
Yeah, here's how it works.
He's just not the problem.
When somebody hears that, they go, he's Team Davey. No one's going to listen to nuance.
I don't care about
you
dumb people.
Well, you qualified every time.
Yeah.
I get what you mean every time.
Right.
You go, I would do the same thing, but I'd wait 3 weeks. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? You love Davey.
But it's not even that. It's just as simple as I don't know how anyone who follows this team night in and night out could possibly look at this roster right now and say the manager's the reason they're 10 games under 500. The manager's the reason they're 9 games back. That isn't to say that he has not cost them some runs and innings or decisions have led to them losing at times. I'm sure that's the case. But I just can't fathom someone watching this group, watching Jeremy Hellickson throw batting practice, and Enoball Sanchez walk guys every time he pitches more than he ever has in his career in terms of walk rate to this point, and watch this bullpen and go, if they just had a different manager, I cannot imagine someone thinking that that's the only fix they would need. Now, if you want to make a managerial change, you know what I would do? I would show up to work and I would say, let's see what the next guy does, because the last guy wasn't very good. That would be my response.
Mm-hmm.
But the notion that Davey Martinez is holding this team back is just incorrect.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. So I think everything you just said is reasonable. If you go, and I think for a lot of people, and I think you are, by your own admission, you're probably way on the side of players play, coaches just kind of, you know, they're not as important maybe as other
sure.
positions, right? Let's, for the sake of argument. The acknowledgement, or for a lot of people in pro sports, whether this is right or wrong, I think it's differing philosophies. The instant you know this isn't the guy, for a lot of people, that's enough, right? And I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's the best
for
course.
For me in season, I don't play that game.
And I know you don't. But the disconnect is, I don't know if anybody has to. Some people are going to say, here's the reason. Okay, fine. I'm not going to be able to convince you. But I think there are a lot of people like me that go, this is a tough hand he got dealt. This isn't all his fault by any stretch of the imagination, because every reason you uttered are the same reasons that I would utter.
And by the way, that thinking, what you're saying is, I'm making a change today. It's not really all on him, but I'm just doing it to do it because I got to try something.
Yeah.
Perfectly reasonable.
And that's my point. So
that's not what we get on the phones, though. Most people are going, get Davey out of here. He sucks. Maybe he does. You know who else sucks? His bullpen, his rotation, and the team he manages.
Yes.
They suck. Jeremy in Bethesda, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Come in.
First of all, I love the Nuke Logan shout-out. I'm going to shout-out Will Nieves, another great national from that era.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
What a beard
absolutely.
On him.
Absolutely.
Matt Chico.
But
so much Matt Chico.
I'm not a believer in Davey or in the team specifically, but I think if there's a shot, I think obviously it's returning healthy, but also just the division is so bad. The Phillies are the only division leader with a winning percentage under 600. They could easily, you know, go on a long slump. If the Nats can, you know, put it together just a little bit, maybe the winner of the division could be around 90 games, really, you know, terrible. But I just think I agree with Danny, I think it was you who said this, that if you just, you know, give it a couple more weeks, you know, maybe make one more big move, and then after that, just, you know, realize you're going to be bad, because there's the worst possibility is being mediocre, like the Redskins, you know, winning 75 to 80 games and being okay with that.
Yeah, you don't want to get stuck in neutral, and it's why they can't make the same mistake they made last year.
And they did. They made a mistake.
If in mid-July you are out of the race, you can't just hold tight for no reason and let guys like Bryce Harper leave for nothing. Luis in Herndon, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
You're on the air, man. What's up?
Okay, so right now what's going on with I believe the Nets will turn their season around. I know they are having the injury bug has been hitting them, and the pitching is the worst.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It is the worst. Thank you for your call. 800-636-1067 is the number. Before we get out of here, we can preview the night ahead. And there's a couple of things in the leftover docket that we've got to hit as well. If you're on hold to talk Nats, we can squeeze you in on Grant and Danny. 20 minutes from now, Chad Dukes versus the world.
Happy anniversary to my guys over at Ted Britt Ford. It's a big one. 60 years of doing it. 60 years in business. 60 years of taking care of folks like you and me since 1959. That's a big deal, man. Really, really cool. Congrats to those guys. You know how you stay in business for 60 years? You do it better than everybody else. You treat people really well. You can buy a car a lot of places, right? They take the hassle away. They take the pain away. They make it easy. They get you great value. They'll get you 120% Kelley Blue Book value on your trade-in. That's all the time. You can't beat the best selection of new Fords and two first-class service facilities in Fairfax and Chantilly. When you buy from Tempered Ford, it's Tempered for life. That's confidence for life, right? Powertrain, service loaners. It's a great service loaner program. Battery replacement, windshield repair. So if your windshield cracks, chips, they fix it for you. Nitro tire fill, and complimentary Virginia inspection for life. You buy from Tempered Ford, you get confidence for life. You got to go see my guys, as I said, in Fairfax or Chantilly. Click away at Tempered.com. And when you go, please, 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 just tell them Danny sent you.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We're not alone in thinking that Drake's antics are a lot to deal with, completely obnoxious and just ridiculous. Apparently, one of the high-ranking agents for the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo at CAA, has come out. Or I guess Octagon, perhaps. And basically said what Drake's doing is completely unacceptable. This was a tweet from Georgios Dimitropoulos. Very Greek name. He says, imagine a gig and an athlete on VIP seats right next to the band stands up on the stage just to show off during the entire set, knowing cameras are on him, occasionally even massaging the singer. Security and him both allow it. Never seen anything as disrespectful as this before. He basically went on to say that what's happening at these games is ridiculous. And I agree with him completely. What Drake's doing is a joke. If I was Giannis, it certainly wouldn't factor into my thinking about the game. Don't let him get in your head, I guess. But it's dumb. I don't understand why he's allowed to go out on the floor, walk all over the place. He has different rules than every other person.
So Drake fans now have, you know, somebody posted an article, 106.7 The Fan, about us being cranky about it. So now, like, Drake fans have found us and are complaining to me.
You said the word correct about it. Well, how did you pronounce correct?
I don't know. They posted an article about how correct we are about it.
Yeah.
And, of course, Drake fans have found that you guys are grumpy. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. The idea that he can do whatever he wants because he's, like, helped Toronto Raptors PR somehow, or he's affiliated with the team or something. It's the weirdest logical leap ever, right? Like, I don't care how affiliated you are with the team. Guys on the court can't do – I mean, guys on the bench of the actual basketball team can't do what he does during a game. You know what I mean? Like, you get fined if you leave the bench to come onto the court for any reason. I don't care how excited you are. You are a paying customer. Maybe you don't pay because you're Drake. But you are part of the consumer base like the rest of us. Please stay in your general seat area. If you want to stand up and clap during a huge moment, by all means, Captain, enjoy yourself. This nonsense, like skipping up and down the sidelines and massaging the coach.
Like coming out onto the floor to windmill your hand because Giannis missed a free throw and clapping his face.
Stop this immediately. Stop it.
I cannot believe nobody's like stepped in from the NBA to say, get this
Please
clown
get this chucklehead away.
Away from the floor.
Have him stay. Again, if you want to give him that seat, give him that seat. God bless. It's your call. And people seem to like it in the Toronto. And that's great. And God bless them. They're very excited about the Raptors despite lots of playoff disappointment. I need that stuff to just – I need him to calm down. Take it from a 10 down to like a 6. You can be excited about your team. It's exciting. Kawhi Leonard's great. This is the best Raptors team of all time. Go get them. Stop massaging the coach.
I find
Stop
myself,
getting in the huddle.
if Drake wasn't at any of these games, I might even be rooting for the Raptors. I don't think I would because I like Giannis so much. But Kawhi Leonard is awesome, too. Because of Drake, I'm rooting so hard against the Raptors. And I just, what I want desperately is Giannis to, like, hit the game-winning shot in game...
I want it to be in Toronto.
Six.
Yeah.
In Toronto, and then he goes and just claps right in Drake's face.
Like, oh, the overclap.
Does a big windmill overclap. Jason Garrett, we just got 6 yards on 3rd and 9.
Give me the Duke overfront clap in front of that guy.
Oh, I would love that. And Drake.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Just has to wear it, wearing some big stupid hoodie, just sitting there looking like a goofball, walking up and down the court. Maybe Giannis starts massaging his back. Oh, I would love that. Just start giving Drake a massage. Right after the Raptors lose. Man, I want that to happen so bad. Let's get back to the phones, wrap up the calls on the Nats. Do you give them a chance or are they done? JP in Vienna, how are you?
Hey, guys. I don't know if they're done or not, but the example of Martinez is just over the 5 days. He pitched Doolittle in a game. They were up 5-1 that he didn't really need to pitch him. The next night he had to throw a bunch of pitches when they barely won 7-6.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hasn't pitched in 3 days, and he pitched this guy Tanner Rainey and Suero back-to-back when the day before these kids had pitched 30 pitches. I mean, they suck in the bullpen, but he mismanages the pieces.
Well,
I mean,
agree
look
with
at
that.
Look at the guy in the Yankees. They're beat up. They got an article in the Post today. They got people I'd never heard of, and they're in first place in a really tough division. And very, you know, they got to play Houston, tough league all the way across. There's chemistry when you're a manager. Even if you have bad pieces, you can cobble personality and energy. I think he's too nice. And I think he should step on a few people. You guys are awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, buddy.
All that's probably fair.
That's all fair.
But it's a lot easier to manage a bullpen well when you have options that are good. He has no options. Every night going into the game, just about, when you and I play our little managerial role here, we go, okay, who would you go to first? What would you do in this situation? There's never any good options. So last night, as an example, you check my Twitter account. I was furious with the way that they went about the ninth inning. When Rainey started that inning, as soon as he walked a batter, I would have gotten him out. They left him in for another. He walked a second batter. You go to Doolittle right then and there. Now, they didn't because they're on the road, and we got to wait for the save opportunity. That's not the way to do this. If Kyle Barraclough comes in, you're losing. No disrespect to him, but 8 of 9 inherited runners have come around to score. He doesn't miss bats. At that point, you need strikeouts and swings and misses. Doolittle can do that. Barraclough's not going to do that. Ball's going to be put in play. Ball's put in play with this defense, you're losing the baseball game. So I hated that decision. But at the same time, you signed Kyle Barraclough. You traded for him, actually. But you brought him in with his track record. This is the role he's going to be executing. He needs to do a decent job there. He needs to get out of that inning. Similarly, one inning earlier, Tanner Rainey was 99 with his fastball with a big slider. Pitched really well to everybody in that inning other than one guy. I didn't like fastball on fastball. I was telling Danny, I watched at Nats Park, Pete Alonso hit 102-mile-an-hour fastball
in the
futures
game. He can turn
a
fastball around, that guy.
He was the best fastball hitter in the minors for a couple years. So I didn't like Rainey in there throwing 99 up in the zone against Alonso because he can hit that. That being said, make a pitch. I'm asking you to get one out. This is a hard sport for hitters. Go up there, throw strikes, and 70% of the time you're going to excel. Figure it out. So, yes, is Davey Martinez great at managing the bullpen? Absolutely not. Does he struggle with it at times? 100%.
Well, we had these same conversations.
Make him right occasionally.
Yeah, we had the same conversations about the bullpen at points. Remember in 2017, this was a real thing. Before they went and got Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle, we're going, what the hell are they going to do? It was Eddie Romero. It was Joe Blanton. It was Oliver Perez. It was still Matt Grace for some reason. Jacob Bleeping Turner threw 20 games that year. They had no answers. Nobody was any good. Nothing worked. Everything was a disaster. And people are going, Dustin didn't know what to do. And my point at the time, and it's the same point now, is there's no phone call down to that bullpen where the bullpen coach goes, okay, and then tells the guy what to do, that's a good answer, aside from one person, and that's Sean Doolittle.
Right.
There's no right answer. That doesn't mean he's not responsible for best practice, whatever that is.
Exactly.
Right? Two conversations can be had.
Let's go to Josh in Upper Marlboro. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Great show, as always. Thank
Buddy.
You. So two quick things. One, and sincere question for Grant. Isn't Davey more responsible, though, for the performance of the bullpen coach? Like, I run a business. We service clients. I don't service those clients directly. But if my guys mess up, that's ultimately on me. That's about the tone that I set in staff meetings. It's about the way that I train my managers to then go out and do their job. So isn't that a more direct line of causality?
Sure, but the bullpen coach is Henry Blanco. I mean, what is he doing wrong? I don't think – if he's not preparing guys, that's one thing. The guy that wasn't preparing anyone was Derek Lilliquist. They fired him. He's gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did make a change. He said, hey, Mike, this guy's not helping me. Everything I'm asking him to do and the communication I need between myself and my relievers is broken all the time. Get rid of him. And they did.
Yeah. No, that makes sense, and I definitely get that, so that's the answer. And I guess the only thing that I think at this point will turn it around, and I'm contractually obligated to say this as a Grant and Danny listener, is for Danny to finally commit to the field goal challenge, and so that's really the only thing that's going
to
switch.
The only way to change the karma.
I love how he pivots. Oh, it's great. Josh in Upper Marlboro goes, let me just get Danny while he's not expecting it for just a second. That's your call today.
A sneaky jab right to the kidney right there.
I think the question he asked is very fair, and mm-hmm. I think it's a good one. If let's say it's Kevin Long as a hitting coach, or now Paul Menhart, or Blanco in the bullpen. If any of those guys are faltering, then yes, that all has to come back. At some point, something has to matter to the manager, right? I can sit here and say the players have to play. What is it that you say you do here? I mean, at some point, yeah, something's up to you to fix. He doesn't seem to have any answers. I guess my big question I always ask is, pick your favorite manager in baseball, and you have him manage this team this year. What's the record of the Nationals? I think they're a couple games better, to be honestly.
Yeah, that's
a couple. And if you say they'd be 7 games better, then you're basically alleging then that manager's 21 games better than Davey Martinez. I think you'd be laughed out of any front office in baseball if you said a manager's worth 21 wins. That over a third of a season, a guy would have already been worth 6 or 7 wins. That's crazy talk. But if you want to make a change, I'm not standing in your way. I don't think he's got any of the answers. I just don't think it's going to help that much. Their problems are bigger.
Yeah, they got bigger
than
problems.
Who's filling out the lineup card right now.
Yeah, there's no good answer at this point. There isn't. Seriously, when it's this bad, there's no good answer. Nothing will satisfy everybody.
Chad Dukes versus the world comes your way next. Ideally, the Nats will win tonight, but Jacob DeGrom's pitching against them. Now, Max Scherzer is on the hill for the Nats, but they generally don't hit or score runs when Max is pitching.
CDVTW out next. A deep dive into the career of Drew Smyling. Once a hot prospect, now an afterthought in Texas. 1.5 hours.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.